hardest lesson ever.
It was?
Oh, it was. I read that and read. I know I made notes. I don't know.
Okay.
So the name of the lesson is The Way of the Lord is Just, and it's in Ezekiel. Of course, she was in Ezekiel last week, too.
It was just the wording.
The wording?
Yeah, that's what kept me confused. I mean, I had to research it and kept going over and reading your paper, and I had multiple thought with it.
Okay, so who has something on the lesson then?
I wrote down something.
Okay.
God is wanting Ezekiel to tell the people that he is not saying that the good are good and the bad are bad. He does not determine beforehand and say, I will make this one good, go to heaven, or this one bad and go to hell. We all have the choice of salvation. Some people think that righteous means you are completely sinless, that you will not... But you will not be until we get to heaven. And God says we are righteous because of what Jesus done on the cross, and then we accepted him. And he will never turn away because of our turn us away because of our past. And as long as we live in obedience to him and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us, then we'll have that righteousness.
Okay. Good.
They thought God wasn't fair in his dealings. Of course, people think that today too. They think God is not fair in what he's doing and everything.
I wrote down a couple of things after accountability. Each person is responsible for their own action, which is sin. And the law tells us what is sin, and Jesus tells us how to overcome sin. And of course, the Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Those who overcome temptation will receive the crown of righteousness.
Yep. Very good. So today's lesson talks a lot about what God's goals are for all of mankind. So, and his goal is to so that we'll become justified. And then once we're justified, then he wants to train us up in that righteousness, because he wants us to be able to participate in his eternal holiness or his eternal life one of these days. So in order to do that, then there has to be a lot going on in our life. And one of the things that he does to keep us on the right pathway is discipline. He uses discipline to redirect our lives. Now, a lot of people thinks God uses discipline. This is what Dad was talking about. Thinks God uses discipline to for a form of punishment or whatever it is. But the discipline is what he uses to try to transform us. Not just if it was to punishment, we would just shy away from it all the time. So he uses it because he wants to transform us into the likeness of his son. So he uses it as a tool or a device to bring us into a closer relationship with him, and that's what he's trying to get us to understand. So he doesn't want us to, he wants us to be able to learn from our mistakes. He doesn't want to just punish us for our mistakes, but he wants us to be able to learn from them. And as we learn from them, then we'll confess those things and then we'll move on in our life. So the problem is all of humanity or mankind struggles to see God's divine purpose. We just can't, when things happen in our life, we just can't see the purpose of it, or especially God's divine purpose for it. So we just focus on the struggle. We never focus on what God wants us to get out of what's happening in our life. So we don't understand that whatever it is we're going through now, will benefit from that for a long time to come. But we don't see that. And God knows this. So he's considerate in the things that he does in trying to help us to achieve a peace of mind and to help us to try to achieve his purpose in our life. So he tries to provide us with a moral standard way of living, but we don't always follow after that in our life. So, and that's because in order to do that, we have to trust in him completely. And we don't always trust in him completely. So, and that's because we're not obedient to the promises and the commandments of his word. So that means that when we see things happening in the world, a lot of those things seem like they're right to us. We'll see something here or somebody here, and we say, well, that must be the right way to go about it. Well, the right way to go about it is God's way to go about it. So we have to learn to see God's way. So that means we have to learn to see what his principles for our life is all about, because that's what ensures us of our righteous outcome with him, is by being able to see the things that he has in store for us in our life. So the first verse in your lesson, the first verse has a lot in it. So we'll read the first verse and then we'll talk about it a little bit. He says, "Therefore thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth." So did you understand all that? So there's things that he's telling us, two or three different things in that one verse. So one of the first things that he says is, the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgressions. So here's what most people think. Most people think that their good deeds, no matter who they are or what they do, most people think that their good deeds is what's going to justify them. But good deeds that we do cannot justify us. They cannot save us from those sins that we willingly do in our life. So that means that it doesn't matter if previous repentance or previous obedience does not justify payment for what you're doing now. So what they were thinking is well, my grandfather was righteous, my father was righteous, I started out in their footsteps, so therefore that takes care of me. If they were righteous, the next generation was righteous, this generation has to be righteous. So that should take care of my sinfulness, the things that I'm doing in my life. So yeah, God sees what's happening right now. So we can't trust in our past goodness, especially when we sin today. We can't say, "Oh, what I done 2 years ago, that'll make up for the sin I'm doing today." That doesn't happen. So those works that were done before time, those works will not save us. So God judges each one based upon now, here and now, what we're doing currently in our life. So now, on the other hand, he said, as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. So God, on the other hand, if and when we sin now, and we can, those sins are already paid for. So we have to remember that. Past, present, and future, our sins are already paid for. But God offers immediately, if we'll confess those sins, then God offers that immediately He'll restore us into His righteousness. He'll restore us from that unrighteousness. So when we turn from those sinful ways, then that means that our past sins do not seal our fate. So I've had people tell me before, oh, I've done this in the past, I've done this in the past, I've done that, so therefore I can't be saved and go to heaven. Some believers will say, because of those things that I've done in the past, God will never truly forgive me 100%, so I'm going to continue to pay for those things in my life as a believer. So that doesn't happen. Those things that we've done in the past, if we've confessed those things and God has restored us into His righteousness, then we don't have to worry about those things. So if a person only trusts in what they done good in before, and then if a person only puts their thoughts and stuff into what they've done bad before, then both ways we're failing, because what happened in the past is in the past. Now, as you live your life as a believer, things you done in the past, you might still be suffering for those things. Well, let's take a bad habit, so to speak, whether something that might have affected your body. You might continue, the effects of that might continue with you, but you're still restored unto the righteousness of God. God doesn't hold that against you, but He still might allow consequences to happen in your life because of that. So past goodness doesn't help you now. Past transgressions are no longer remembered now. It's what we're doing now in our life. So,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We have to learn to forgive ourselves.
Yes. Yes. So the third thing that He tells you here is, He said, neither shall the righteous be able to live for His righteousness in the day that he sins. So that means a righteous person, if you still follow after the sinful, lustful desires of the world, then you're, just because you've done good somewhere in between those things, that doesn't mean that you're going to get out of the responsibility of living the way God wants you to live. So as a believer, then we have a responsibility to continue to live in the righteousness of God. And when we don't live in the righteousness of God, then just because we are part of the righteousness of God doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences for those things that we're doing in our life that are not pleasing unto God. So we have that responsibility to continue living in the righteousness of God and staying away from our worldly lustful desires. So everything that is happening has to do with here and now. Your past goodness don't make up for the sins today. Your past sins won't be remembered today, and therefore you won't receive blessings from God. Did you understand any of that? Or?
Anytime you deny what Christ is trying to correct you or to help you understand, you have to You can't deny Christ for what he's trying to take.
Right.
He's there for correction.
So in verse 13, then he says, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, then it says he shall die for that. So,
talking about a spiritual death, right?
Yes. So if to live in your salvation, so this is what he's saying here. You can't live in your salvation and be a part of the world. If you're going to live in your salvation came from God. Your salvation is dependent upon God. And that dependency relies upon our relationship with God and how well we're going to maintain that relationship as we move forward. So it doesn't come by trusting in, well, and a lot of people, and I hear this all the time, well, I got saved 30 years ago. I'm going to go to heaven one of these days, so I'm okay. Whenever the Lord takes me, I'll go on to be with him. Not necessarily that they don't, that they sin, but they don't do anything. So therefore, their salvation then, they are not basing it upon their relationship with God. They're just basing it on a one-time opportunity that they took with God. So everything in between, they figure it'll be okay because I have the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Well, Christ has he has responsibility from each and every one of us. So that's why we have to mature as we grow and are while here on the earth, on this earth, because there is a time when he'll put us in a position to help somebody, and if we can't do it, then we have a crash.
Yeah, so everybody, doesn't matter if you were saved a week ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, everybody does things in their life that aren't pleasing unto God. So if we're just basing our relationship with God upon the time we were saved, all of those things now that we do in our life that aren't pleasing unto God, it's not helping our relationship with God. It's hindering our relationship with God. So this is the spiritual death that it's talking about. You're not going to be spiritually separated from God because you are saved. You are going to go to heaven one of these days. But every day, instead of growing spiritually, like you said, Roger, instead of growing spiritually, we're dying spiritually. We're not doing anything for the Lord. And that's because we're basing our whole life of our relationship with God, we're basing it upon the time that we were saved. And we have to grow. So he says daily, there has to be in our life daily, there has to be repentance or confession of those things that we do that are not pleasing unto God, because God wants us to maintain a faithful relationship with him through his son Christ. That's why we're striving to be like Christ.
That's why Paul said that we have to die daily to overcome.
Yeah, and you can tell the days in your life that you're not working towards that ongoing relationship with God, because those days in your life are filled with a lot of confusion. A lot of anger, a lot of stress-related things. A lot, just every day in our life, we can tell if we're not following after and maintaining that relationship with God. Because when we don't, then all of these other things are able to pour into our life, and that hinders our relationship with God. So we're living now, today. Your relationship with God today is based upon how well you maintain that relationship with Him today. You understanding any of it? Okay. All right, verses 14 and 15. Here's what it says. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, then he shall not die. So what are we talking about here?
Well, when we get sent, get saved, we're to focus on the life of Christ, you know, the Christ life.
Yeah, see, a lot of people are not truthful in their relationship with God. So that means yesterday I'd done something that wasn't pleasing unto God. I worked on taking care of that so that God might restore me into his righteousness. But since I wasn't really truthful about it, and the word I mean when I say truthful, I'm saying in the back of my mind, I'm saying, well, it wasn't that bad. So if I do it again tomorrow, it'll be okay with the Lord. This is what this is talking about. We're not truthful in our relationship with God. And this, whatever these things are that we're doing, it seems to be a reoccurring thing in our life. Yeah. So what we're doing is it shows God that we have a desire to overcome whatever this is, but it's just not very much of a desire. So we don't desire to completely get rid of it and get away from whatever consequences might come from it. So we're reaffirming a past sinfulness. We done it day before yesterday. We done it again yesterday. We're doing it again today. We're going to go ahead and do it again tomorrow. And so it's a reoccurring thing that God wants to take care of in our life, but we have to want him to take care of it. And we'll say, oh, we want him to take care of it because I prayed to him about that. Well, it wasn't with a truthful, willing desire. So therefore, God was willing to take care of it. You just weren't willing to turn it all over to him.
Well, he missed out one thing right there. He did it once, he did it again. Well, God never justified me or did anything to me about this thing for correction or anything, so it must be okay.
Yes. So every day that we do this, then if you do something long enough, eventually you're going to get to the point in your life where you think it's okay and you're just going to go ahead and continue doing it. So every day that we do this, this is what happens. So, but every day that we do this, there's going to be some kind of consequence to it. So what God wants us to understand, most people just think, well, I do it, I'll suffer the consequences from it, but I like doing it, I'll just keep doing it. But that's not what it's all about. The consequences, the reason God supplies consequences to those things is the consequences is his way of giving us an invitation to repent of those things or to confess those things or to have that willing desire to completely get rid of those things in our life. So the longer we go, the stronger the consequences might be because the stronger the invitation is to do away with it.
And you wonder why, like for example, you, God called you to teach, preach, and you mature daily. And that guy, whoever that is, gets stagnated to the place where I don't think I can teach or anything like that, because I don't think I understand what the...
So we're told through the Word of God that true repentance requires some kind of change. There has to be an action take place, and that has to be according to the obedience to the Word of God. So if it doesn't happen, then there's never going to be a true repentance. So that means we're probably going to continue to do it.
Well, after we do it so many times, like the Israelites do, he just says, okay, go ahead and do it your way.
But he doesn't just say, oh, I'm okay with it, go ahead and do it your way. He says, yes, you go ahead and do it your way, but... Yeah, my consequences for you doing it are going to be, they're going to continue to grow as well.
Yeah, and then the Israelites come back. Right.
Yeah, that's their punishment that God gave, you know, for being disobedient.
Yeah.
So everyone's accountable for their current state of being, right? We're accountable for every moment of our life. And you're not going to stand before God one of these days and say, well, when I was a young boy, I went to church every day. I did this. I prayed. I did this. And it's not going to matter.
God will show you through your lifetime your wrongs and your rights. And he will, if you study the Word, he will give you a word to say.
Yes. So he tells us a life lived in good works, that would be previously in our life, is not going to save you if you're living in sinfulness now. But on the other hand, if you lived a life of wickedness and now have accepted and are living and striving towards growing that relationship with God, then that wickedness isn't going to keep you from receiving the grace of God, or some people think that it will. So it's whether we choose to remain in our sinfulness or we choose to live in a renewed life of obedience with God.
Well, the choice is, do you want to live the joyful life of Christ or live in torment?
That's what he's trying to get through to these, because they're still in the Babylonian captivity.
Yes. And we're no different than they were in the Old Testament, because we find ourselves in captivity all the time. And they would do wrong. They would go into captivity. God would help them get out. They do, and it was just a continuous cycle. Well, it's the same way in our life today. We continually put ourselves into some kind of captivity. We're of something in our life. Doesn't matter what. I mean, it could be anything and most generally, it's probably something that we really don't see as being a problem in our life. But we've put ourselves into that captivity, so to speak, and the only way we're going to get away from it or get out of it is by allowing God to help us to overcome it, and he'll restore us to his righteousness if we are truthful about wanting to get there.
Then a lot of times you can be around, I call sinful people, and you see all the wrongs that they're doing, and it actually helps you, because you know God knows you're not supposed to be doing those things. So if he puts that block in your mind, you know, I'm not going to be like that there, because I'm serving Christ.
Yeah, we should be to the point in our life where we instead of always trying to pray to get ourselves out of captivity, we're praying for others. So, and we're living a life that is an example of our salvation, not a life that people see that we're always struggling with our salvation. Okay, so verse 16, he says, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. So you understand what he's trying to tell us there. Now, we're blaming God for it now. Must be God's fault. He's trying to get me to do something that I'm just not capable of doing. So, but we're capable of doing everything that God has for us to do if we'll just follow after the things that he wants us to do. So he said, no, it's not God. It's your way. God's way is fine. It's the way, direction or the way that you're going. That's where the problem is. So he says, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, then he shall even die thereby. Meaning, it continuing in that, then spiritually, every day instead of growing, we're falling away spiritually in our life. So it, but he said, if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, then he shall live by that. So it's whatever is in the heart is the way that you're going to run or live your life. So if there's continual sinfulness there that we've allowed to take over our life, then that's the way we're going to live, and that's what people's going to see. But if we're striving to live in our relationship with God and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, then that's the way that we're going to live, and that's what people's going to see.
God's ways are, his ways are equal to each and every one of us individually. And you know, it's like I said before, we are responsible for our own actions. And if we're living for the Lord, he will bless us. If we're not living for the Lord, he will chastise us equally.
Yes, I was trying to find that verse. Let me look in Ephesians. There's a verse that it explains that. There's some in Proverbs, but I know there's some in the New Testament too.
Yeah, that Proverbs 3:5-6 there has to go along with that there, and get self out of the way in order to be able to live Christ-like.
Can anybody think of what that verse is? I can't think of exactly how it is worded. But it says that whatever it is that you have in your heart, that's the way you're going to live your life, whether sin unto death or. But I'm trying to find the verse that says that. I'll have to look it up, and it'll come to me after a while when I'm not thinking about it. So verse 20 says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal, O ye house of Israel. I will judge you, everyone, after his ways. So a lot of times people think that God is the one that's being unfair, but it's not God. But the reason that we think that a lot of times is because sometimes the suffering that we're going through, and we hear people say this all the time, why am I going through this in my life? Why is God letting me go through this in my life? But it's because that suffering in our life, sometimes it feels like it's unjust to us, because we can only see what we're focused on right then. We don't understand that the suffering that we're going through comes from the sinfulness that we've committed. But we don't see that. All we see is the suffering. So we see the immediate situation that we're in, and we don't see what God's trying to do for us in our life. So there's where our focus has to change. Instead of seeing what we're going through, we need to see what God wants to do to get us through it. And when we begin to see that, then we'll start to understand what God's purpose and plan is truly all about. So the feeling of unfairness that we have, that's a worldly emotion. And God wants us to get rid of all those worldly emotions, because all that's going to do is continue to keep us feeling sorry for ourselves. So we need to get rid of those things in our life. And we need to understand that God is a just God. He's not unfair. Whatever it is that's happening in our life is happening for us. It's so that we'll grow, so that he can strengthen us, so that our relationship with him, it'll bring us into a stronger relationship with him. So he challenges us through these things in order for our trust and our faith in him to grow. So I think some people think that sometimes God, he operates on our level of what our standard of unfairness, what we think is unfair in our life. But God, that's not how God operates. Everything that he does, whether we feel it's unfair or not, it comes from his mercy and grace and his compassion and his love. So when we're unfair to people, that usually comes from our what? Not our love and mercy and grace and compassion. That usually comes from our hatred or our anger or our jealousy or whatever the case may be. But God doesn't operate that way. So that's where we have to learn to see the difference between how what our moral standards are and what his spiritual moral standards are. So in Psalms, and David went through a lot of this in his life in Christ. So I'm going to go back and read this last verse in Psalms. It kind of helps sum this up a little bit. In the 25th Psalm, verses 8 and 9, Here's what he said that he's learned to see, that God and good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Meaning everything that he does is good, everything that he does is upright, even when he's trying to teach us to go in the way or the direction that he wants us to go. So David at times thought he was being treated unfairly, but he come to understand that everything that God does is good and it is upright. And he says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So it seems like judgment to us, but really he's trying to teach us or keep us going in the way that he wants us to go. So it all happens accordingly to our individual actions. It doesn't have nothing to do with what we feel we've accumulated or not accumulated in our life.
But it's not about walking perfect, because nobody will do that on earth. It's about walking in obedience and growing in maturity, right?
Right. So each person is judged, it's based upon the choices that we make that are being made, because that's how God evaluates us, through our actions, through our thoughts, through what we allow to motivate us, and the intentions of our heart. But everything that God does, He does to call us, to turn us away from those sinful things that we choose in our life. And He wants us to turn away from them and choose to live in our new life in Christ. So, and there's nothing that God doesn't see. So He sees everything. So that means when you can't go to prayer at night and say, "Lord, let me tell you the rest of the story, because I think you're just judging me on what you know. Let me tell you what you need to know." So that God sees everything. So when he judges us, it's on everything, and He knows more than we do. So there's nothing that we can come back and say, "Well, Lord, if you would look at my side of it, I think you would be a little easier on me." He already knows your side of it.
He already knew you was going to say that anyway.
That's right.
He will not compare you to somebody else.
Right. So that means that we need to learn to take responsibility for those things. For our own spiritual well-being, we need to take responsibility for that. So, are we going to fall short? Yeah, we're going to fall short. Are we going to do things that are unpleasing to God? Yes, we're going to do things that are unpleasing to God. But we got to remember that no matter what it is, what the consequence it is, whether it's mercy and grace, or whether it's something that we don't like, it's all to teach us the correct pathway that we should be going. So if we don't accept that, then we're probably still just going to go down the wrong pathway, because we don't want to be taught that way. If God wants to teach me something, why don't He always do it with blessings? Well, because we'll never learn to grow stronger in Him and follow after our relationship with Him. So everything that He does for us is the fulfillment of His saving grace within us. We just don't always see it that way, because we're focused upon what's happening right now in our life, and we don't see what it is that God's trying to do for us.
God says, "Well, if we read that and think about it now, it'll help us to really stay focused."
Sure.
We're either going to go to heaven, or we're going to stand back and say, "What happened? I tried.
Right.
The verse she's looking for, sin and death. There's one in John, 1 John 5:16. I don't know if that's in the book.
First John, let me see if that's it.
5:16. Might not be the verse.
No, I mean, that's a good one, but it's not. I'll find it, because it says we live by what we do, the things that are in the heart. I'll have to go home and look at it. I'm finding it now. I thought I knew where that verse was.